The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Simon is back with me. We have talked about how to use a urinal and how to blow your nose. This week, Simon, how to do what?
How to swear, how to curse. Looking at the difference between the two.
Okay.
I was recently watching the Oscar, multi-Oscar nominated movie, Anora, which I'm sure you've heard about.
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it. Any good?
Get it? It is good. It's kind of a movie of two halves, I would say. Stick with it. It's very long. It's about the Russian-American community in Brooklyn. Brighton Beach at the very lower end of Brooklyn, set conveniently in 2019, before complications, geopolitical complications came into play. But the reason it stuck out for me in this context of how to swear, Kieran, is I was staggered by the amount of cursing in it. And I'm not criticizing that. It really added to the atmosphere of the movie.
So this isn't, you're not taking kind of a puritanical view to this. This isn't don't swear, this is how to swear properly, is it?
Yeah, it's how to swear appropriately.
Okay.
I think often we use curse words perhaps at the wrong time and the wrong place. With Anora, there's 479 uses of the F word.
Wow.
Which works out at 3.45 F words per minute of the movie, which puts it at, I think, number 5 on the all-time list of movies with the most amount of curse words ever.
Brilliant.
Just behind Wolf of Wall Street, which was staggering at the time. But like, I think what's interesting about Anora as an example in this area is that it shows how swearing can be something that's really cultural, something that's really expressive.
Yes.
You get a really fantastic sense of the frenetic kind of survival mode of the Russian-American community in that part of America. And the swearing adds to that.
It's funny you mention America. A friend of mine who now works for the Department of Foreign Affairs, so I hope his diplomatic skills have improved. But when he worked in the private sector, spent time in the States, and on his first day in an office job, had to be pulled aside and said, "Connor, we don't use the F-bomb around here."
We use other bombs, but not that one.
Exactly. We love bombs. We don't use them here.
Yeah.
We outsource all of that. But the point being that he took a kind of an Irish attitude to his language in the workplace. Well, he wasn't fast and loose with it, but there was, you know, the odd F-bomb was thrown into conversation. And no, not a runner.
And it probably wasn't used as a slur or in an abusive way.
No.
And it reminds me of a friend of mine when I was living in London. He was a Kiwi guy, lovely guy. But whenever he met me, he would always address me as the C word. He would say, "All right, C word." And at first, I found that really kind of affronting and discombobulating. But I realized quickly that he used it for all his best friends. Only.
Okay.
And for his enemies, he didn't use the C word, which was a complete inversion of what you would expect that word to be used for. But he was using bad language, so-called bad language or profanity, as a kind of a social connector, as almost like a password for his friendship.
Are there times, though, where we would agree it is inappropriate? There's certain times you shouldn't use it or in front of certain people.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with young people, very young people using it. I think in that case, it's often happening because adults have modeled the profanity in front of children.
Yes.
And they're going to copy that. I remember when I was around 9 or 10 years of age, I joined our local hurling club in North Tipperary. And I was like that kid with, you know, my jaw had hit the grass. My eyes were open. I'd never heard an adult just like an absolute stream of consciousness of the F word for an entire hour. I'd never experienced that before, for under nine training. It was absolutely extraordinary. And then, of course, everyone else was using the same language as a result of that.
Brilliant.
But he was using it to motivate us. I didn't find it motivating.
Okay.
But I think for me, and I hope this doesn't come across as prudish or too sensitive, but I think, Kieran, that when you hear very young kids using profanity, that it almost feels like their innocence has been taken away from them. That a kind of adult concerns or stresses have been imposed on their existence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's nothing. Kids do lots of silly things that are kind of cute because kids are doing them. Mm-hmm. And swearing is not one of them, really.
Yeah.
Is it?
But like, why do adults swear? We swear because we're venting or we're angry or something like that. Or in the odd occasion, like my Kiwi friend, as a social connector, I think that's a bit of an outlier. But when kids are doing it, they shouldn't be angry or stressed about that.
Yeah, we shouldn't encourage our kids to use the C word to greet us as some sort of social connector when we come home from work.
Certainly not to your dad.
No, absolutely not. So you said at the outset, cursing and swearing, the difference between them.
Yeah, we need to consult our Bible, the Old Testament. So the swearing is clearly where you're taking a deity's name in vain, if we're to use blasphemous terms. You know, you're invoking God to corroborate your argument in some way. So I swear to God, I did switch on the dishwasher before I went to bed or whatever it is, you know. But obviously, you know, if you look at the book of Leviticus, for example, just to quote it for a second, this is now the Old Testament obviously is not famous for pulling its punches.
Yes.
And it certainly isn't on this occasion, Kieran. It says, "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death."
Yeah, sounds good.
Clear as day. But swearing is, cursing is different. Cursing, of course, is where you are wishing ill upon somebody else.
So a curse on you.
A curse on you. Like, even damn you would be kind of a more traditional way of doing that. But F you or whatever, that's a term of abuse. It's a slur.
Okay.
You are wishing ill on another person.
So when is it okay then?
Well, I think, we talk, the Steven Pinker, the great linguist, he talks about swearing of catharsis, which is a really interesting example. And I guarantee you that every single listener who's with us right now for this segment has had this experience. You stub your toe, you catch your finger on the car door, you accidentally burn your pinky on the gas stove, whatever it is, it's almost involuntary that you'll say a curse word. But there actually is a process of catharsis taking place there. And there's a fascinating study that I came across in my research from a university, Keele University in the UK, in Newcastle. And they actually tried this out, Kieran. And what they did was they had a control group they had two groups, and everyone in the groups had to put their hand into a bucket of very cold iced water.
Okay, right?
The control group was only allowed to use neutral words like chair, bread, table.
Oh, bread!
Exactly.
Me hand.
Yeah. But the other group that they were testing were allowed to use the F word as much as they wanted.
Brilliant.
And what they discovered, like, this was absolutely clear, the result, was that the team that had that were allowed to use the F word, they kept their hand submerged in the ice water for 50% longer than the group that were only able to use neutral words.
Wow.
So it actually was generating extra adrenaline and heart pumping feelings in them that was helping them to cope with the pain. Extraordinary.
If somebody calls you up in the workplace and says, "We don't use the F-bomb around here," you can just say, "Listen, I'm just using it as a coping mechanism to deal with my pain."
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, go to HR.
Exactly. Simon, listen, a real pleasure. As always, I look forward to next week's edition of How to Do Stuff with Simon Tierney.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.